Hare Krishna. Yesterday, we were working on a, not particularly a pastime, it was an appendix, and the appendix talks about the different types of, or different groups of gopis who came to Krishna's Sharadiya Rasa Yatra, and where the origins were. Of course, there were the eternally liberated gopis, but there were those who were sadhakas, who were practitioners, and they attained the opportunity to take birth in Braj, and in that way they also got the perfection of getting Krishna's association. And while we were reading them, I was really, really very amazed. I was amazed by the integrity, loyalty, determination, the personal qualities that, for most part, the women who became later gopis displayed. And I'll give you one or two examples and get the idea of what I'm talking about. When Lord Ramachandra was residing in Ayodhya and with Sita Devi, there were many young, beautiful women who were very attracted to him, and they wanted him as their husband. And obviously, Lord Ramachandra had taken a vow to only accept one woman as a bride, so their vow couldn't be fulfilled because they had a similar mindset. These girls would go together and talk amongst themselves. And one day when they're on the bank of the river Sarayu, then they heard a voice. And that voice, celestial voice, said that in some future, that in a future birth, you'll take birth in Vrindavan and Mathura, in the area of Mathura, and your desire will be fulfilled. In the meantime, practice austerity, go on pilgrimage, engage in spiritual practices, and qualify yourself for that perfection. So what happened was that these women, they just abandoned everything, and they dedicated themselves just to that instruction, which they heard, as a result of which they did take birth in Vrindavan, and they ultimately got the association of Lord Ramachandra in the form of Lord Krishna, and their desire was fulfilled. They weren't the only. There are many, many such examples in relationship to Lord Ramachandra. For instance, even when Lord Ramachandra went to marry Sita Devi in her Vidarbha city, then, oh, not Vidarbha, but now I forget, but there also, girls also wanted him, and again, they got the same type of mystical instruction, and they also followed it. They went to places of pilgrimage. Even during that time, Vrindavan was already, Mathura was already known as a sacred place, as a holy place. They practiced austerities by following vows like Ekadasi, and so on. They performed other spiritual practices, hearing about the Lord's pastimes, and in this way, gradually, they purified themselves. They performed sadhana, and thus became qualified in a future birth. There were, for instance, when Matsya, Lord Matsya appeared, and as he was swimming through the waters of devastation, the daughters of Varuna became infatuated just by seeing him, and they were also given the same advice. So what's really amazing and what's really fascinating is that just by once seeing the Lord, and who was obviously very attractive to them, but It was a transcendental attraction. Just by once seeing him, these ladies became so attracted that they were willing to not only abandon the thought of having another husband, but they were willing to go through a life of austerity and enter into a future just on the basis of a prediction that in some future time that they would actually have their desire fulfilled. So they had such great attachment and great faith. Now what happens in the modern world that we live in? Some girl is attached to a boy, or a boy is attracted to a girl and he can't get her. What do? You just go to another one. What to speak of some unmarried boy or girl, but what to speak of even a married boy. We have, and I'm not even just speaking about non-devotees, but unfortunately devotees as well. We have married couples, even with children, and either spouse becomes attracted to someone else, and what happens? Divorce, and they just head off. But here, we have this unbelievable, extraordinary fidelity commitment to Dharma, to doing the right thing. The concept that once you've given your heart to someone, you can't take it back. What to speak of husband and wife. We see that devotees accept even spiritual masters, give up their spiritual masters, or follow Prabhupada's line and then give up Prabhupada's line, just on the basis of they like somebody better. So this type of integrity is such a wonderful thing that once one has either verbally or just within their mind made a commitment to someone, something, and obviously that someone, something is right and correct and is spiritual, then you don't draw back. Example, for instance, that comes to mind is that of Karna. And then Srila Prabhupada also gave the example of Dronacharya. So Karna, he had this vow. He took this vow. His vow was that at midday, when he takes his bath, anyone who approaches him, whatever they ask from him, he'll give them whatever they ask. Indra was very well aware of this, and he knew that in the upcoming battle, as long as Karna wore the armor, the natural armor that he was born with, because it came from Surya, Arjun would not be able to defeat him in battle. So he came in the guise of a Brahmin, and he asked Karna for that armor that he was wearing. And Karna knew who that Brahmin was. He knew that it wasn't a Brahmin. He knew that it was Indra, and he knew that he would lose the battle. But he was true to his word. He was dedicated to his word of honor. Once he had given his word, then he was determined to stick to it. And so he gave those things. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Dronacharya. Dronacharya had an argument, or at least Maharaj Drupad had an argument with Dronacharya. And so Maharaj Drupad did his fire sacrifice in so that he would have children born of that fire sacrifice who would be the death of Dronacharya and of Draupadi, and Dhrishtadyumna were born. But when it came for Dhrishtadyumna to learn the science of wielding weapons and so on, who did he go to? He went to Dronacharya. And Dronacharya taught him. So Srila Prabhupada knew, said, that this person, Dronacharya knew, this person is going to kill me. He's born to kill me. But still, his duty was, I'm a teacher, and whoever comes to me, it's my duty to teach him. So this obligation to duty. It is something that is extremely empowering, extremely inspiring. We also see, for instance, when people in the world outside us, when they see something going amiss in Krishna consciousness movement, they become disturbed. They're disappointed, and they say, "Well, I thought you people didn't do that." In other words, they expected that Well, yes, you're meant to be sticking to your word. You're meant to be sticking to your vows. Once you take initiation, you can't back down from your vows of initiation just because you found an excuse. Once you get married, so many different things. You're supposed to be honest people. You don't steal. You don't lie. What to speak of committing yourself to the process of devotional service. And once you do that, then you don't go back. Even just from a point of principle, if not from a point of taste. And what really struck me is when we were reading these, how these women had this type of extraordinary ability that just by seeing Lord Ramachandra, just by seeing Matsya, and there are others like Dhanvantari and so on, or Vamandev, they had the, first of all, they gave their heart, and as soon as they gave their heart, they had this phenomenal determination that they weren't just looking at the here and now. This wasn't an issue of just prayer. So yes, what will I get out of this right now? But they're looking in terms of the long-term vision. Yes, what will happen? Even if I have to sacrifice this life for a transcendental benefit in the future, they were willing to do that. That type of integrity is something that we can really sort of meditate on as a quality that really endears us to Krishna. Because sometimes practicing this extraordinarily elevated philosophy and being part of a movement that teaches that, we tend to think that other lower practices we can sort of neglect. Well, Krishna stole as a child and Krishna also lied, so we can also do that. And Maharaj Yudhisthira also lied, but we can't do that. And we can't do those things until first we attain the status of Maharaj Yudhisthira, until we actually really become pure at heart. And when Krishna personally tells us to do something, that's another story. But in the meantime, Krishna says that samadhamastamasocham shantirajam evacha. He tells us how to practice the qualities of truthfulness, austerity, simplicity, cleanliness, and so on. Maybe Maharaj Vrishabhdev could keep himself in an unclean condition, but that's not, we're not meant to imitate him, we're meant to actually do what he tells us. And this is what really struck me yesterday. I thought I would share that today, and we'll continue tomorrow. Hare Krishna.